Hi, everybody. This is Laurie Handlers, and you have tuned in to another program of Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. And I love being with you. This is really my favorite thing to do. And hopefully it's your favorite thing to do, too. So let me remind you, if you have any questions about anything on the show or anything you want to write to me about after the show, you can write to me at laurie@tantracafe.com. And I greet you with peace. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. How often do you think couples have sex? Every day? Nah. Seems they have a lot of sex during the first 3 to 6 months of their relationship. And then the fires start to simmer, I think, for most people anyway. Differing sexual appetites show up, and also demanding careers cause people to chill down. You know, they just kind of lose it. And they lose it a lot faster than they thought they might lose it. Many couples become greatly discouraged, and they settle for no sex or very infrequent sex, while other couples seek out Tantra. Yay! In an effort to spice up the bedroom again. My guests today, Antoinette and Richard Azimuth, are Tantra teachers. And the important part here, in terms of what we're looking at, is they've been actually married for 42 years. That's totally amazing. And they claim to know something about spicing up the sex life and how to simultaneously handle daily practical life and deep, sustained, ecstatic tantric practice. So that's what we're going to find out about today from them. Antoinette and Richard helped people live in joy, excitement, and love. In 1998, they founded Tantra Heart, one of the leading systems for uniting heart, sex, consciousness. And they help people awaken, the couples awaken to their fullest potential. So, Antoinette and Richard, you've got to tell us something about how a person can start on a path where they can rekindle something, balance things. You know, people want to know why this happens to them and then what they can do about it. And most importantly, you obviously did something about it. You've been married for 42 years, so please share with us some of your wisdom. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Laurie. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here and really exciting to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Hi, Laurie. This is Richard, and it's a joy being with you, and the energy and the love and the great gifts you bring to the world. It's an honor to be here in this magical, strange, electronic world room together here.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to have you. And this is one of the favorite things that I do in life, is expose people on internet to really the basic fundamentals of how they can shift and change their life in some very simple ways. And right. I happen to know, I mean, I always refer back to this cover of Newsweek that I saw in about, 2004. It was when I was writing my book, Sex and Happiness. I saw the cover of Newsweek. It showed two people in bed. The man had a clicker in his hand, you know, a remote control thing. That men love those things. I don't even know how to work those things. But anyway, men love those things. And it showed the woman with a laptop in her lap, and they were in bed. And the article was entitled DINS, Double Income, No Sex Couple.
Yeah, right. Yeah, DINS. Thank you. We'll use that. And there are a lot of them. From our experience and research, there are a lot of DINS. And you're right that it shows up earlier. People are really quite surprised by it. How can something that's so hot all of a sudden be, like, overwhelmed? It gets lost. It goes numb. And then, of course, the issue is to blame. You know, the typical pattern that we do in our coaching, and that, pardon me, we have the phone system here. But we're not going to answer it, of course, but it's going to ring for a few moments. Sorry. they typically they get upset. You know, the low desire person, the higher desire person, what's wrong with you? What's, you know, it becomes then snowballs and gets even more frustrating for both people. So we do quite a bit of coaching about this, but we can also speak from our own personal experience as long-time partners is the exciting part that
Richard, that's actually where I want us to start. I mean, you two, we met in around 1997 or 1998, and you two were getting on the tantric path the same time I was getting on the tantric path, and you were married, and at that time you were married quite a few years. So, what is it? I mean, you know, what happened for you, and what changed it for you, so that people can start to understand that this is normal, that if they're having some problems with the heat in their relationship, that there's plenty of things they can do about it, and we'll go to your coaching aspects a little bit later in the show, but talk the personal part first. Like, who woke up one day between the two of you and said, oops, we better do something? I mean, I'm assuming that happened. I don't know, though.
Right, yeah. Actually, we had always had a consistent and loving sexual relationship, and I guess kind of like in the Woody Allen movie where he and I think it was Annie Hall each went to a therapist separately, and the therapist said, well, how often do you have sex? And she said, oh, we're always having sex, like 3 or 4 times a week. And then the therapist asked Woody Allen the same question in his session later, said, well, how often do you have sex? And he said, oh, hardly ever at all, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. And so that was our pattern. You know, we had sex about 3 or 4 times a week, and it was satisfying and enjoyable, but we had also reached a point in our relationship where we felt we really were ready to amp things up, to bring another dimension in. And in a deep conversation we had on a long vacation in Hawaii, we shared some of our deepest longings and yearnings, and one of them was to increase our sexual intimacy and the energy and the power of our sexual relationship, and also to deepen and expand the spiritual nourishment. You know, I was just personally feeling a real longing for that. And when we discovered Tantra, found that, wow, through the practice of Tantra, you get like the 2-for-1 deal, that it brings that union of the sexual and the spiritual together. And actually, Richard is the one who was in a bookstore, and a book on Tantra kind of fell off the shelf and into his lap. And so he started exploring this first and was really interested in it and brought it to me and said, you know, I'm really excited about this, and I'd like to start exploring this as together. So it seemed to, you know, made a lot of sense, and it seemed interesting, exciting. So for about 2 years, we explored through books, and we read different books and started practicing things that we read in the books. And then we started learning from a teacher, and then decided ourselves to become teachers. And actually, it was in 1998 that we made a conscious commitment, conscious decision and choice to begin a daily sexual spiritual practice. And so for the past 12 years, we have made love, tantric love, every day for the past 12 years. And
that's so fantastic. That's amazing. So you make love every day. Do you have an alarm set? What, do you have a special time? How do you work that?
Well, it's roamed around, but we've settled on in mornings. That's the only time. I think one of the anti-sex things in our culture, Lori, is number one, wait till spontaneity brings it up. And number, because, you know, we don't wait till spontaneity brings up many other aspects of our lives, but all sex, wait till spontaneity. And then the other thing is, well, what about putting it at the very end of the day? You know, most couples choose that's their time, if it happens at all. Very end of the day. Oh, great. I'm the most tired. I've had a full day. There's things still roaming around, phone calls or other things in the evening, or maybe television or some wine and dinner. Everything is there. Everything else is out of the way. Now we have sex. So we realized that that was one of the patterns that was not interesting. It wasn't, didn't have enough juice for us. So then we put in the morning. Testosterone is higher in both sexes. Many people think of testosterone as male, but women have testosterone too, and it actually helps with the desire. And so it's higher in the morning. We don't, you know, it's 5:36, 6:37, somewhere in this range. We don't get phone calls very much. We don't have many obligations. We just simply made that a sacred time. There's something about the early morning coming out of that sleep. And now let's feel the sweetness of touch. Let's share.
That's beautiful.
Eye gaze.
That is such a hot tip. I mean, of all the couples that have been on my show, and I've had some very famous teachers.
Sure.
Most of the time, I'm going to tell you, and I know you're going to say you like this too. I mean, you know, we come from the same school. So I know you're going to say you love eye gazing. Every single couple that has ever been on my show, and this is not making anything wrong because I've had extraordinary interviews with people.
Yes.
Every couple says their most favorite practice that's altered their lives is eye gazing. And I'm here to tell you, Antoinette and Richard Asmus, this is the hottest tip that I've ever heard on Tantra Cafe. I mean it. I mean it. I'm not, you know me. You know I wouldn't just say that.
Right, right. No, you are direct, powerful guy.
Yes.
So I mean it. I think it's like, duh, wake up, everybody. Yes, wake up and make love. Start your day with the sweetness.
That's right. And we always adapt, Lori, because if we have to catch an early morning flight, I mean, it's okay. We set the alarm at 4, you know, or something like that. And we shorten the time then, but we still, it's going in with that commitment to oneself, to each other. It takes all the jockeying out of the way, and we also can't avoid each other, and we can't avoid it, because that's what happens in my experience, and ours too. We had, like Antoinette shared, a lively sex life before, but it was still always kind of jockeying around. Is this the good time? Is this not? What does it mean? A lot of things got in the way. It felt like it was on the edge, that it could easily fall over a cliff. And so this way, this is our time. And the other thing that we discovered that really made the difference for how to make this really alive and juicy is that we discovered that each of us would take a day to lead. In other words, what we did on X morning, I led this morning, for example. This was my morning. I could choose then what we call unique erotic excitement is for that day. In the past, we were kind of blended into the middle. Oh, yeah, this is what I like, this is what she likes, and we're kind of blended. But my favorites that aren't her favorites were left out. Her favorites that were not my favorites were left out. So we had this overlap in the middle. Well, when you're really close, and this is a tip I think that people could really pick up that are partners for a while, you want to get your own unique erotic excitements into your making love bed, your time together. And so by
Richard,
having leads...
Richard, wait, I'm just going to stop you here because we need to take a little break. But
okay,
I want to come back to this because I definitely want some examples. I want people to really get from you. You know, I think I understand what you're talking about.
Yes,
and I
sure.
love the switch off of one leads then the other leads.
Yes.
I mean, I just like that anyway.
That's
but
right.
I really want to get the richness of this. So,
So
just hang on there for a minute. I'm talking with Richard and Antoinette Asmus on Tantra Cafe. That's what you're listening to. And we're talking about some very unique ways that Richard and Antoinette have developed, they've made agreements with each other to change the way sex was before when they were a non-tantric couple. And when we return, we're going to talk about some other tips that they have. The first big tip they gave was make love in the morning, and or have sex in the morning. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to call sex and love the same thing. So we'll be right back when they're going to talk about how you switch off one being the leader, then the other being the leader. Many times on Tantra Cafe, you've heard my guests and me discuss emotional release techniques. Now you can do emotional release work in the privacy of your home. In my CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, I create a very safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work I am known for in my Tantra courses. I set you up with proper positioning and breathing, and then guide you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. Try this CD as an easy way to do your personal clearing work on a regular basis and watch your relationships walk free from emotional baggage. You can order my CD at butterflyworkshops.com for only $20. Aren't you really worth it? I feel you are. Go to www.butterflyworkshops.com and get your copy now. And walk free from emotional baggage. Well, we're back. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm talking with Antoinette and Richard Azimus, who I know for a long time. I know them as long as I'm doing Tantra, they're doing Tantra, and they're sharing some very incredible ways that couples can re-spark the sex into their relationship. I mean, I started the show today talking about how most couples don't have that much sex anymore after they get involved with each other. 3 to 6 months it lasts. And they're saying they make love every day in the morning. Yay, what a concept. So, Richard, we left off, and you were talking about you led this morning, so that means Antoinette will lead tomorrow morning. And
that's right.
What do you? And I love that thing where you said that you made a bell-shaped curve before. Yeah. You said that your most hottest practices that she doesn't prefer got dropped out, and her most hottest practices that you don't prefer got dropped out, kind of
that's
in
right.
a bell-shaped curve of relationship.
Right, and we might have some that we both feel are hot. They're in the commonality pot, but there are many others, and we tended, speaking of our own experience, we tended not to be as explorers. If you make love, if you have sex every day, of course, and you want it to be fresh and alive, what does it call for? Creativity, uniqueness, be an experimenter. And so by this, when we discovered this, of switching the lead, it's tomorrow Antoinette's time. She can choose whatever she wants to do, whatever special, a new curiosity or an old favorite. It might be my favorite or might not. It gives me the chance to be a follower, Laurie, and to be surrender. I like to fantasize that, I'm in this goddess temple with her, and I've been the one called in this morning, and I can do whatever she desires and is interested in. So the idea of surrendering and following is great. And the one who leads also watches the time, because we do have responsibilities in the morning. So that's kind of nice. On the day I'm following, I don't have to think about time at all. It's all up to her completely, and vice versa, of course. And so then that gives me a chance as a follower. But then the next day, I'm the leader. And that, by emphasizing these roles, by really clarifying them more fully, it gets out of that mushiness in the middle, which I think gets people bogged down.
Well, it adds a lot. Go ahead.
Before, I want to hear what you have to say, Antoinette. Before, I just want to know, before Tantra, when you had lovemaking, but it wasn't as frequent, did you have that feeling? A lot of people have that feeling that, and I know I've had it too, if I approach my partner and my partner says, no, not now, I took it personally.
Oh, and, absolutely.
And then I had this resentment on top. Like, then I was going to have sex, and I had resentment because of the last time.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it carries over.
It carries over, and it's really natural. The agreement to make the commitment to have sex every day, and also the agreement to honor each other's unique erotic excitements, really opens a lot of space, and it's tremendous permission giving, and it really deepens intimacy between the two partners in a relationship, because usually people will withhold their unique erotic excitements because they're afraid of, will my partner think I'm too weird, or will my partner refuse, or whatever. So the fear of rejection is really high.
Yes.
And of course that's even present with just the act of asking, or approaching the lovemaking. There's that too. And so again, that commitment to have a sexual spiritual practice on a daily basis really removes a lot of that fear of rejection. However, it also opens doors for a deepening of intimacy, because one of the things that we ask each other every morning, the leader asks the follower, are you available this morning? And that, with all freedom, opens the door for the partner to say, well, I am wholeheartedly, wow, let's go, or no, I'm not available. And then the next question is, well, what's there instead? And so sometimes it is emotions that are carryovers from maybe something else that happened the day before, or an interaction, or maybe things that are being anticipated for future time in later in the day. It could be anything, or could be
Listen, if I had a flight to catch, I just want you to know, if I had a flight to catch and my partner said, are you available? I don't know if I'd be available.
Exactly.
I always have so much going on before a flight to catch.
That's right.
Yeah.
You would be.
And so the opportunity is to really come back into being present in the moment, to explore with emotional release processes, or just what's present in the moment kind of dialogue. There are lots of ways to really explore what's there, to then work and navigate into the availability. And it's just amazing, the exploration of self and the exploration of partner and relationship, the depth of relationship, the sharing that comes through, and honoring time, honoring surrender, honoring each individual's personal power and wholeness. And so it really does deepen the intimacy.
How did you really trip on this? How did you, or stumble upon it? I don't know how to put it, but there's many tantra couples in the world, or, at least I know them. I know the tantra. And there's many more couples entering the world of tantra every day.
Right.
How did you stumble upon this everyday thing? I mean, who came up with the idea?
Yeah, I think it was Richard. And as I remembered, it really was born, I think there's some sort of a formula that, when there's dissatisfaction with a situation, then, out of that dissatisfaction is born the impetus for creating change. And, so positive things can come from that. How do you remember it, Richard?
I wanted to do a spiritual practice, discovering Tantra, and to do the practice. And we have this technique called the cobra breaths and these every day. And I thought, wow, this is sexual, spiritual. What about doing sexual every day and not jockeying around? I call it jockeying, because then you have to kind of, is this a good timing? Is it a good timing for me? Is it a good timing for her? If Antoinette asks me, is it a good timing? Am I in the mood? All that little jockeying, it gets tiresome. And we also don't face each other, because then we're spinning in our own worlds a lot. And when are the times when we really merge? And I thought, well, what if we made our practice a daily practice? We do have other daily things, I brush and floss every day. I do many things the same every day. What if we built this in to be a rich? It's like a quick trip to Maui every morning. And so it's like, wow. And so by doing it every morning, no longer was it jockeying, no longer was it avoiding each other, spinning in our own worlds. We faced deeper and deeper things about ourselves individually. But then we really realized, wow, we're in this space together. What are we going to do to make it interesting? How are we going to do to make it alive and sustain it? Many people don't know how to sustain, Laurie. So that was we discovered it just then. I remember in the Tantra world, even at the time, this was pretty many years ago, 12 years ago, there were some that kind of laughed or poo-pooed it and said, oh yeah, having sex in your daily practice time, of course you know, they were kind of thinking that there was something wrong with that it didn't belong.
Listen, I don't even want to go there. I bet I know just who those people are. I don't even want to go there.
That's right. That's right. And somehow that was one of our gifts, is that sex is a true partner with meditation.
That's correct.
It's a true partner. It's an equal. It's not a stepsister. It's a partner with heart connection. It's a partner with consciousness, the evolution of consciousness. It's a real true partner. And of course, if it's a true partner, well, then make it a part of a true day. If it's an alive day, make it an important priority part of each day.
You know, I have often, two things that just come up for me when I hear you. One is, I have often thought that if a business meeting is important enough for me to make a business meeting, which I'm involved with and do all the time,
sure.
I'm in business meeting after business meeting, then making love, it's important enough to make a love meeting, a sex meeting with
That's
my partner.
Yes.
That's one thing. And the other thing that comes to mind, and this is something I discovered a long time ago, and that it was, I had this outrage about people having to go behind closed doors and behind screens and in the dark. This is before I was tantric, but of course I was always tantric. I just didn't know that I was. I was unconscious of my tantricness.
Yes.
I was outraged by the fact that people's nudity and their body and their lovemaking had to go in the dark, covered up behind doors, when, in fact, after killing in a war, there's a ticker tape parade and everybody comes out to throw, to throw confetti and cheer when people come home from war after killing. And this is making life, and that's taking life.
Yes.
So you are exhibiting to me this so much creative life force in just having to be creative with each other to keep it. Oh, yeah, there's something else. Wait, my best friend Edward is my salsa partner. We do salsa dancing together, and Edward says he always comes to one of my courses, my ecstasy course, and talks to the men. He says there are three things about dance that you have to do in life with women. One is keep her safe. Don't bang her into any other dance partners, you know, on the dance floor. Two, keep it interesting or else she's going to get bored with you. And three, make her look good. So it feels to me like you've applied this with each other in the sense of taking responsibility to keep it creative, to keep it in the flow, to keep it real, to keep it fresh. Making love in the unknown. Amazing.
Yeah, and connected to a bigger purpose. Thank you, Lori. We have done that. And to make connected to a deeper purpose, I like what you're saying about how it's kind of walled off. And one of the things that we do is we come to the end of each of our sacred times together, sensual time together, is that we practice what we call orgasmic beneficence. It's sending out the arousal, the orgasming, the spiritual consciousness, the mystery worlds, the beauty out into, by blessing each other. Again, we take turns, and one of us will bless one of us, and then the other will bless the other, to send this energy out. Beneficence meaning to do good. It's a pure gift to the world. We send it to each other, to our partnership, to our family, to our grandson, to our students. We send this out to the world as a whole, anywhere, and we feel these energy waves. They are real waves, and that they go out, and this love, this excitement out to the world. And that gives it a bigger meaning. We feel like it's connected, which is just so special.
That's beautiful. We will talk a little bit more about that. I mean, that's what some people call sex magic, but I kind of like what you call it, orgasmic
benevolence.
Yeah, beautiful. In case you just tuned in, I'm talking with Richard and Antoinette Azimuth, who are Tantra teachers. They founded the Tantra Heart School of Tantra, and you can find them by going to tantraheart.com. And I'm Laurie Handlers, your host of Tantra Cafe. And we were really just talking about some incredible tips that we're getting here from Richard and Antoinette about their life of making love every day and having to create extraordinary experiences for each other and being truthful with each other about the space they're in and also taking turns, but keeping a regular practice, just like a meditation practice. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this sending the energy of orgasm out and then some other types of things like tips that they have for couples. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. If you're listening to Tantra Cafe, congratulations. You've reached a higher plane of consciousness in caring for yourself and caring for your significant other. Tantra can help with physical and emotional bonding to nurture your relationship. And there's another level of care that you should be considering as well. It's your family's financial well-being. I rely on DeLone Financial Services to guide me on this journey. And Jeff DeLone is my friend. He and I have worked together for years. He even helps care for my father's finances. For information about your family's financial planning, contact Jeff DeLone at 610-356-1253. That's 610-356-1253. Or you can email Jeff at jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Welcome back for the next segment of Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm your host of this program dedicated to spiritual enlightenment. My guests are Richard and Antoinette Azimuth, and they're really sharing some dynamite information here about their tantric practice and really the commitment that it would take, from what I can see, for people to keep life fresh and in the unknown, which is really what I talk about a lot. But the ideas that they're sharing to me, I went, duh, they're amazing. So coming back to this practice of yours, sending it out, so what are the kinds of things that you might say or focus on if you're sending this fabulous, and it's reminding me of when everyone said to have orgasms for peace.
Yeah.
There was a movement then.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Well, it's very similar to that. And so our orgasmic beneficence ceremony, to call it that, for example, when I bless, on the day that I lead, then I bless Richard first when we're complete with our lovemaking and our spiritual practice of our breathing and meditation. And so what I do is, lying at his side, I place my hand at his pubic bone and speak a blessing to, as he said earlier, as to him, blessing him as he moves through his day, blessing our relationship, our love, blessing our students who are coming to our next course. And so for, you know, a couple of weeks before we teach our course, we will be, every day we'll bless those students in preparation, just sending this energy to them for the highest good, however they receive it, to use it in their stepping into this practice. And I may also say, and you know, sending it out to our family, sending it to world leaders, sending it to all of those who may be struggling in some way in the world. And so I make circles at the pubic bone and speak this blessing. And then I unite the energy of the second chakra at the pubic bone area with his heart chakra and say something, you know, it's different every time I do the blessing, but say something about...
Do you put your hand there? I mean, do you, yes. you when you so, unite the heart chakra, you put your hand there and you put
I
your...
I do, yeah. So I'll slide my hand up to the heart and speak something about bringing the vibrance of this life force sexual energy in connection with heart and bringing the loving energy of the heart in connection with the sex, and then slide my hand up to his brow center and speak something about you know, that there be passionate awareness and conscious sexuality with a loving heart for a loving new world. And then I will chant the Aum mantra, which is the three vowel sounds of Aum are the vowel sounds for the heart, the sex, and the third eye, or the sixth chakra. And so that's a way of completing that blessing and gifting of the energy.
That's so beautiful. Do you, can we do that? Could we do a, we could do a quick Aum chant just so people can really get the feeling of it. I'd like to do it together with you.
Yeah, that is great. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to, I think one of you has a better singing voice than me. I'm not sure, but I could go in or I could, you know, start it and you'll just have to be on sort of a E flat minor, something like that.
I'm not that technical, but I would like to encourage the listeners, Laurie, to when they, in the ah part of that, almost all cultures, the ah, ah, feel the vibration in the center of the chest with the heart. The ooh,
yeah.
Pursed lips with the ooh, you know, make it sexy. Ooh, feel it in the pelvis, in the sex.
I feel it. Just now I felt it.
Oh, good. The M sound, to feel that in the brain. And so it'll roll, the mantra rolls, but it's so simple and so powerful. So let's do that. Should we do three together or five together? What number feels good?
I was actually thinking of just one. So
okay.
Yeah, because I have a lot more I want to ask you. So our listeners are just going to have to be really smart about this.
They can pick it up. One of the things that's great about this is it's so short and easy.
Yeah.
So it's an easy one for them to practice on their own. Okay, so take a big inhale. Feel, be aware now of what's occurring in the heart, in the sex, in the third eye, in the brain. And feel all three simultaneously as best as you can. Take a big inhale. And then exhale, gently opening your eyes or releasing it. So it gives you a sample, because it's the effect after, too, that we really emphasize with any of these. But it's amazing. Because
yeah,
nobody
sweet.
Lives with their heart sex, or very few people live with their heart sex and consciousness all awakened and integrated and connected to their work and their health and their family and their gardening and their restauranting and whatever they're doing.
Well, it's certainly, it just made a difference right in the space right now, space where I'm sitting, in the connection between us, and hopefully that also got felt.
Yeah.
And will continue to get felt by the listeners around the world who listen on the internet. It's just, it's so simple.
Yes.
And so sweet. So thank you. That was great. Thanks, Antoinette, for that description of what you actually do.
You're welcome.
It's so nice. It's so nice. What a fabulous practice. So far we've gotten three tips. Big tips from you. One is to make love every single day in the morning. Amazing. Two is to switch who leads on a daily basis. Every other day is your turn, so it forces one of you to be really creative and the other to surrender, which is so, so important in all of this. And then the third thing is that you then bless. You take the sexual energy, you spread it into the world in all these wonderful ways. You intend for it to go out there and cause peace and happiness. And then you bless the partner. What couple wouldn't want that?
Right?
They'd have to be crazy. They'd have to have their head examined if they didn't want to relate that way. And if they don't want to relate that way, it begs the question, what are they doing together?
Yes.
Yeah. It does bring it. There's a level, you mentioned intimacy before, Laurie. It is an intimacy practice because we're revealing oneself, my limitations, my uniquenesses, my willingness to be open and bold, but also vulnerable and sensitive.
And squishy.
Yeah, that's right. All at the same time. So it is. And I think every person, my encouragement to listeners would be design your own. If it means three times a day, three times a week, then do those three. Take something to make it so that it's not always waiting for the perfect time or waiting for this. Some people say, well, what about spontaneity? Oh, we call spontaneous or deep focus times that pop up other times of a day or a time, you know, especially if we have some little free time or vacation time or those type times. But other times, too, is just say, hey, I'm ready for a deep dive. I mean, again, it's this, why would I avoid that which is so beautiful, pleasurable, sacred, connecting? Why would I avoid it? So we have those times, too. But each person be creative in their own styles would be my suggestion.
Yeah. I think, you know, the spontaneous thing, I've heard that argument before. I've heard that from a partner or two.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think it's baloney, basically. I think, I don't know where people got that. That's another one of those fictitious things that I think, you know,
that's right.
In the movies or from rock and roll, like, it's got to be spontaneous or else it isn't the real thing. Sex is part of life. It's an integral part of life. And to not have it in there, to just leave it to chance, like as if you would leave your finances to chance.
Great.
It's ridiculous. I love that the two of you have been together for 42 years and you're like this with each other.
Yeah.
I keep saying that because to me it's mind-blowing. I mean, there are people who've been together for years and years. I mean, my parents were together for 50-some-odd years.
Wow.
Before my mother's death. But I know they didn't do this. You know, my father's tantric now.
Hey.
I made him go through my classes. He found himself single in his 70s. And there were plenty of women around, but it was like, what? He didn't know anything. You know, he didn't even know to buy prophylactics.
Right. Yeah,
the
health benefits of this have been really astounding for us as well. And the vitality has been really strong. People say, well, what if you have a headache or what if you don't feel well? And number one, that doesn't happen to us in these 12 years. I don't think it's just by accident or by coincidence that I think there's a direct correlation with this much energy, consciousness, and love, pleasure, orgasming, running through one's body, every cell, every system. It's a natural way to be healthy. So we say, even if we do have something, we used to think that we solved the common cold, Laurie, because at the beginning, because we'd enter into these times and we'd say, wow, the cold symptoms have gone away. Well, they did come back in another half hour or an hour later. But during the time, they did go away. And so we were excited.
They do.
Yeah. They do.
I've noticed that. I think that has to do with T cells, though, by the way.
How does that work?
I once had a live blood test And the man looked at me and said, I think you're in love. I think you must be recently in love. And I said, why do you say that? And he said, because when you're in love, you have a higher production of T cells.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think when you're making love, your body's producing antibodies that keep away those symptoms so that you can actually connect. And then the sniffles come back.
That's right. The endorphins, it all kind of goes away. And so I think it keeps us really healthy, and it really brings us closer, you know. Take two orgasms and call me in the morning as if we
talk. That's great.
But that has been and being in our, we've crossed the 60s threshold in our lives, and to be in the bodies of 30 or 40 year olds, 20, 30 years younger, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it's this vitality of life.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's wonderful. So just, we'll be right back. I'm talking with Richard and Antoinette Azimuth, and we are having the most delightful conversation about the benefits of Tantra for couples, one of which is to stay fresh in the lovemaking and keep the spark going. And now we're talking about rejuvenation and how our bodies, we can stop the aging process. And we have two people who are practicing this with each other in an amazing way, and they've been together for 42 years. So you really want to listen to this. We'll be right back. In the next segment, we'll talk about how you can get in touch with them and some things coming up and like that. You're listening to Tantra Cafe, and I'm Laurie Handler, your host. Wondering what book you should read to jumpstart your sex life and increase your happiness? Try my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. This short, easy-to-read book will make you laugh at yourself and possibly even make you cry as you discover my tantric secrets for happiness and how they apply to you. In the book, I begin with the 10th law, make love in the unknown, and then work you all the way through laws 1 through 9 to teach you how to be in the unknown, fresh, every moment, every day. Sex and Happiness puts the innocence and love back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. It's only $19.99 in paperback and $14.99 in ebook. Go to sexandhappiness.com to order your copy of Sex and Happiness by me, Laurie Handlers. Okay, well, my guests today are Antoinette and Richard Azimuth, old friends of mine, Tantra teachers. They founded Tantra Heart, one of the leading systems for uniting heart and sex consciousness. And they've certainly been demonstrating that on the show today. So what do you have coming up? What can people do to get started with really these ecstatic practices that you're talking about? They're making me ecstatic, and I'm not even with you every morning.
Hooray. Well, there are several doorways that people can step through in working with us. One is to attend courses that we teach. We have a Tantra Heart Level 1 course, Living in Joy, Excitement, and Love, and we teach that periodically throughout the year. We just taught one, and so the next one is May 14th to 16th.
In Chicago, we'll be in Chicago.
Oh, that's true. We'll be in Chicago at the end of April teaching that course. And then we have various levels. In these courses, we teach the Cobra Breath. And then we also have a course called Art of the Sexual Heart, which we'll be teaching in July. Another way is to step into personal coaching with us, and there are two ways to do that. One is what we call customized coaching, and so it is either coaching with either Richard or coaching with myself, or some people like to have sessions with the two of us together, and so we determine that with the individual. And it can be in a customized format where the person being coached chooses what they want to explore, and navigate, learning new approaches, new techniques to navigate through the waters of life. Another way of doing the personal coaching is through a personal study course that we've developed that has suggested readings and specific topics, and people can move at their own pace with that and combine that with a coaching session.
Now, can they do this over the telephone with you?
Yes.
Or are these in person?
The coaching is all of those in person. Some are, very few actually are in person anymore. A great number of our coaching sessions are either by phone or by Skype. We have students all over the world, and so it's just wonderful the modern technology that's available to us to support our growth and learning.
Beautiful.
And it really works. At the beginning, this was like 10 or 12 years ago, weren't sure that it would work over the phone, or then Skype wasn't there yet. But it works great. Why? Because they then take these things coming out of every session. We really work with them, brainstorm, create with them some experiments, things they're going to experiment in their lives for their own sexual life, their own spiritual life, their relational life, life purpose. Many of the sessions are around, I really want to make my life meaningful and filled with joy, excitement, and love. So they come out with experiments out of the session, Laurie, and then they try those in between, and then they come back, and, sometimes it's celebration, or sometimes, wow, I really hit the wall with that. Well, let's learn from that. Where's the treasure inside of hitting the wall there? There must be something important behind that you felt. So that now we just know that it works so well because they're applying it in a real practical way to living ecstatically in their daily life.
Now, do you work mostly with couples, or do you work with single individuals as well?
Yeah, well, we work with mostly with individuals and then with some couples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how my teaching and my practice is too. It's interesting like that. I think it's well, one of the things I want to just bring out here is that we're actually talking about really normal couple relationship situations. We're talking about people just like you and me. We're not talking, we're talking about people who need to get to know themselves, as well as getting to know themselves in relationship to another.
Yes, it is. We'd like to start exactly where people are. People say, I don't know, I don't have this, I don't have a partner, or I don't have too much emotional stuff. Wherever a person is the perfect place to start. And it works. That's the other thing that I love telling people. It's like it works. And I wouldn't do it otherwise, but it's like there's no way that it doesn't work, assuming the person's open to facing herself and experimenting and loving, learning gradually if she or he needs to love oneself, to keep saying, I'm willing to be here present with myself. It guaranteed to work. People learn to live ecstatically.
Yes. Now, how do this has got to be a quick one? But how do people sustain their discoveries? Because there is recidivism. I find that people go back to depression sometimes. They don't do their cobra breath. They don't do the practices, and then they don't even do the homework.
Right.
So then what?
Well, the first thing we do is to honor that they're. For whatever reason, this must serve you better. So to honor where they are, go if wherever it is. So honor where they are rather than trying to criticize or beat anybody up about anything, including oneself. So that's the first step. The other step is to take littler steps. One of the things we've learned over the years is take little things and just practice little bitty things. And then build from that. Think of a seed. This is springtime here in the Midwest, so we have this thing's beginning to just sprout out a little bit. So too in one's wanting to make change in one's life. Take little steps, but do them wholeheartedly, and then let it go. Go back to your old patterns. But then come back and do that little step again. It's there. And I think having key people, being in touch with a powerful person, teacher like you, Laurie, and or us or other teachers being in that. Many of our students say, wow, I need to have that connection again,
yeah.
You know, to come to the course again, to keep
some structure,
it,
yeah, yep. Course, repeat the courses.
Yep.
And also to honor the resistance or the not doing whatever it is, and to really look at what role that is playing in one's self. And, you know, what message is there? What is there to learn from the not doing?
Thank you for saying that. It's really key. Very important.
Yes.
Well, I want to really thank the two of you. I'm so honored to have had you on the show today. If you just tuned in and you just caught the last segment, I've been talking to Antoinette and Richard Azimus, who teach and have founded Tantra Heart, which is their organization for teaching how to unite heart and sex consciousness. And today, they really did bring home how to simultaneously handle daily practice, that's daily sex practice, with and be ecstatic about it, be in ecstasy with it, and handle your daily life, like the plane flights and the appointments and the everything, the phone ringing. I really honor you too. I thank you so much for being my guest today.
Welcome. It was an honor to be
here. Yes,
with you.
It was really delightful.
Thank you,
Lori.
My next Tantra Cafe show will feature someone who's had a full sex change, someone who's gone from being man to woman, and the whole story of what that entails, why she would have done that, and also how Tantra has played a role in her life. So please tune in to my next Tantra Cafe. If you want to get in touch with me, you can write to me at Lori@butterflyworkshops.com. You can also follow me, Lori Handlers, on Twitter. You can follow me on Facebook. You're certainly welcome to visit my website, butterflyworkshops.com, or go to the other sites, Tantra Cafe. And I am going to be saying namaste to you, namaste from Tantra Cafe. Please go in peace. And really have an ecstatic, fresh, amazingly tantric life. See you next time.